Proverbs chapter 4, we'll pick it up right at verse 1. Hear ye, children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved, in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. That's awesome. Keep my commandments and live. Mm. Too many of us exist. Mm. But in the Word of God, there's life. Mm. Amen. And our obedience. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. With all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son. Notice my son, not my daughter. Now, daughters, you do well to take heed to the word of God as well, but there's an emphasis here. Amen. Hear, O my son, verse 10, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in the right path. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straightened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction, let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. The words of the Lord are life. So to which gender is this being directed specifically? The son. There's no confusion. Amen? You're either a man or a woman. Nothing in between, nothing less, nothing more. Amen? And I wanted to start with that, folks, because as we talk about the family, our roles as men is so incredibly important. Not to minimize the role of a woman, some of the greatest men that ever existed were the product of godly women. So we're not minimizing, but certainly we want to concentrate, we want to focus on the role of us as men in the family. There's a lot of confusion today. And therefore, we've got the Word of God to kind of bring us back into the proper channels of God's will according to His design. And His design always worked. The fact that creation pretty well operates is because He's designed it this way, right? So everything else falls into play. There is a paradigm that I want to mention again found in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, there is a paradigm that we need reminding of. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Amen. It says there, verse 3, but I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Now, why would God say that? Because people were missing it. The Bible never talks about something just to fill the pages. The Bible addresses the need that we have either by we're ignorant to the fact or because we are maybe rebellious to the fact. Either which way, God is going to get glorified. Now, you and I do best when we submit to the way God says what He says, because He knows exactly what He says, right? God knows best, and we just follow the rule, and then, according to the scriptures, when we keep these things in place, that's where we really experience life, beyond just having an existence. Does that make sense to you? And it's exciting to know that we can fall back on the Lord, knowing that the Creator of the universe knows exactly how things ought to work by design. Amen? So so what do we have as an example As what should a man look like? Well, one of the things that we have is the Word of God. If you go to, with me to John chapter 19, look at John chapter 19. What would be our primary example of how to design our footsteps? How should we move forward in this life where there's so much confusion, right? Is there a lot of confusion today about genders and everything else? Bless God, there's no confusion. It's pretty straightforward. It's pretty set in a standard manner. And it works, right? It works the way it works if we just follow the rules. In John chapter 19, if you look at verse 5, then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate saith unto them, behold the man. If there's anything that I can do to enhance my person as a man, is study Jesus. Is study Jesus. Amen. The greatest example of manhood is Jesus Christ. Behold the man. Pilate got a hold of that, and that's how he presents him. Now, does that make sense that the creator of the universe would be your best role model? It certainly does to me. One of our greatest responsibilities is to what? Well, does not the Bible refer to Jesus Christ as the Word? Right? John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He is the Word of God. Amen? And he comes to us dominant in the male gender. And therefore, the commandment, according to Proverbs, and you'll always see it, God holds the man mostly responsible with the benefit of where his influence is. Does that make sense to you? It certainly does to me. It's very simple going forward. Amen? And so when it comes to the family, the greatest role that a man can have moving forward is found in Ephesians chapter 5. How do we treat our wives? How do we treat our wives? So Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Look at verse 25 with me, please. Ephesians 5:25. It says there, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, what sticks out to me in that verse is that Jesus loves me unconditionally. You know why that's important? Because we always are kind of waiting to see how somebody treats us. And we want to reciprocate according to how we're treated. Listen, I was an atheist and God saved me. The cruelest form of treatment. And he bore it. Are you with me? In other words, our job as men is to love our wives right where they're at. And that is a challenge. I understand. But listen, if we're here to emulate Christ, Christ didn't wait for me to be good. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And maybe we ought to do a study on the prophet Joel. When God gave Joel a commandment to marry, what kind of a woman was he supposed to marry? Remember the story? God told Joel to marry a prostitute. And Joel did. And do you know that at the end of the story, they lived happily ever after? And God is making a comparison between himself and Israel. And you and I, if we were lost without hope, is because something else was God and it was not the God of the Bible. That's called idolatry. In other places, God calls it adultery. Spiritual adultery. And the Bible says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, did Joel live happily ever after? Yeah. Why? Because he loved her unconditionally and she finally repented and straightened out her ways. Isn't that how you and I got saved? Did not the goodness of the Lord lead you to repentance? We're so conditioned to conditions. In fact, isn't it true that people have these like marriage nuptials or something? They get in the marriage with contracts. Isn't that true? And if you do this, if you don't do that, if you don't supply, I mean, what is that? I mean, it's bizarre stuff that goes on today. But certainly it's not the Word of God. And so, you know, these things occur to you as you're putting these messages together, and the Lord was rocking my world. It says, man, God wants me to love my wife even when she's not nice to me. What is up with that? Something's got to be wrong. Verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it. How? With the washing of the water by the word. You know what that tells me? It's up to me to be teaching at home the Word of God. Now, I thank God that my wife is an ardent reader of the Bible. So in our household, we just kind of just, you know, she's laying there and she's reading her Bible and she'll mention something here that, you know, I was just reading this here and look at this. And, you know, we just kind of talk back and forth what's already in the scriptures. You know what I mean? My wife is an ardent reader and student of the Word of God. But we share it together. You follow what I'm saying? I used to do that with my kids when they were, it was amazing. There was a time that we lived out in Gates, and there were five different cars in our driveway. It looked like a used car sales lot. Everybody had a car. And so there was no longer family devotionals because everybody had a different schedule. But what I would do is I would just take them to work, you know, in my car and sometimes pick them up, and we would talk about scripture on the way back and forth to work. You follow what I'm saying? There's always a place where we, as dads and as husbands, there's always a way to communicate the Word of God in the way that we should. Amen? It's a responsibility, but it's fun. It's a lot of fun when we take it on that way. Now, in verses 26 and 27 here, it says here, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. What I love about my Jesus is that he's patient with me. Amen. And I've been saved now 46 years, and if you should ask my wife, she would be the first to tell you that I am not a finished product. Okay? But God patiently is working with me. He patiently works with the church family and men. It's up to us to be patient with our wives. You know, the fact of the matter is, it's up to us to really present Christ, because that's the picture here. Marriage is a picture. Is a picture of the relationship that Jesus Christ has with the church. Amen? And how do we cleanse ourselves? Why do you come to church? Isn't it true that a Sunday school and a time at church, when you walk out, you kind of feel a little lighter, a little better than you came in? I do. I love coming to church. I love getting together. We have a Friday morning gathering, and the Word of God is open again, and we have a good time. You know, I kind of like it because it's really relaxed, you know. But we get through the Word of God and we just feel better. Then we confess our faults one to another the way the Bible says. And it's whenever you obey the Word of God, you're just better off, because God has designed it. God has said, this is the best way to go about your life, the way to go about your business. My word is life. And therefore, when we use the Word of God, by which we help our spouses also grow, what an encouragement it is when we get together with our family to share the Word of God together. Amen? Family devotionals. Look at verse 30 momentarily here. Let's jump right to verse 30. For we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. That is exactly what your wife is. How many of you are married? Now, all right. There's a saying, a happy wife is a happy life. Boy, I know that.
I'm married.
Well, a happy wife is a happy life. And so of course, now, see, that even that saying goes upon who? Upon us, to make the wife happy. A happy wife is a happy life. And the thing is, you know, these sayings have a basis in Scripture, right? And you got to love God is somewhere in everything. If you think it through, you'll see that God is always. So, you see, now here's what's amazing. Who has the title of love?
Jesus.
God is, it's a title. It's not that God gives love. Is that God is love. None of us can say that. We can get love, we can give love, but only God is love. And therefore, when you study the person of Jesus Christ for your role as a husband, ladies, raise your, how many of you would like a husband exactly like Jesus Christ? You raise your hand. Don't worry about it, girls. Don't worry about it. I know your husband ain't perfect. You're good. You're good. Yeah.
I feel worse about myself.
Yeah. You ask my wife and forget it. There's his hands down. There's no mystery there. But our goal is the more like Christ you are, not only the better is your home, the church is better, and so is our society. Do you know that there's a place prophetically, that God will heal the land by the healing of the relationship between son and father? Now, what does that have to do with being a good husband? Well, here's the thing. I've been saved for 46 years. Yeah, the dinosaurs were around. The point is, on all these years, I've heard at least 5 different men say this, that the greatest thing their dad did in front of them was how well they treated their moms. 5 different men throughout my years have said that the thing that affected them more than anything was the example that their dads were and how they treated their mom. There's something to this, isn't there? Because that's exactly how Christ treats the church. Therefore, we need to learn what this really means as it relates to the wellness or the lack thereof in our homes, in our churches, even in our society. Hasn't the devil had his heyday in attacking the family? The chaos. You talk about all this criminality, all the violence. Search it out. Follow it through. And the chaos is in the home. And it just spreads out like a wild cancer. It's really bad news. If you will, please, God is love, the Bible says. And ladies, can I just throw a little thing at you as well, if you don't mind, because the guys might feel I'm just picking on them today. And this is a, what do they call that? This is an equal opportunity church here. So in Ephesians 5, if you will, please, in verse 22, it says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now, it doesn't say your husband has to be Lord-like, as unto the Lord. Focus on Jesus. This is God's will for you. If you want to help your husband, treat him as unto the Lord, okay? Verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be unto their own husbands in everything. What do you mean everything? honey, let's go rob the bank. I don't think so. I don't think it's where we're talking about that. But there are a lot of dynamics between a husband and wife. Amen. And somebody has to have the last word. Now, obviously, it's a team, right? It is a team. But sometimes in a team, nobody wants to concede. I remember years ago when I used to play baseball. We used to play softball, and I put a team together. I put the most powerful team in the league. I got all the superstars, and I put them all together. We came in third place. There was just simply, man for man, there was no competition. You know what the problem was? Everybody pulled their own way. We had about 11 or 12 players, and there were 11 and 12 coaches, and nobody agreed. You can't win that way. Too much talent. Amen? But we as men, if we can prove, not with our words, with our actions, and with our commitment to God, I think the best thing we can do for anyone, at home, even at church, if you can prove that you love God, if you love God, you're going to improve with time. Because Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I'm not a finished product, but my wife honored, and this is something that I heard by someone else. Someone else had a conversation with my wife, and he told me that she told him that one thing is for certain, that Jose loves Jesus. Mm-hmm. Now, that I hope that's something that we can earn, right? Because that does not come just by saying you love Jesus. There's got to be some proof behind it. But see, as long as you love the Lord, there's room for improvement, right? Even though you're not a finished product, you wanna bless the Lord with greater obedience and greater growth. And therefore, men, our societies need you. Our churches need you. Our homes need men that love God, that really get to the Word of God, they read it, they study it, and then they live it in a way that is meaningful, because that brings a lot of security. Does that help, ladies, with security, when you know your husband loves the Lord? Is that a benefit to you on a personal level? Yes? Yeah, amen. That's right. So we all need to obey the Lord. And then there's something really interesting here out of 1 Peter chapter 3, if you go there with me, please. First Peter chapter 3. I have heard through the years, I mean, 71 years old, you hear things. I have heard through the years that sometimes it is possible for a lady to cry without knowing why. Have you ever heard that?
Yeah.
Honey, why are you crying? I don't know. Now, you know what that does for us? You know, we tend to be kind of pragmatic, and if you tell me that you're crying and you don't know why, where does that leave us? And therefore, there is a saying that it's hard to understand women, almost impossible. So, however, that God has, if you will, he has a way around that, and bless God for his instruction. If you go to 1 Peter chapter 3, if you look at verse 7 with me, 1 Peter 3:7 says, likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Deal with them according to that. Well, wait a minute. She just told me that she's crying and she doesn't know why. What? How am I supposed to know? You know, this happens. It doesn't happen as much as it used to after 46 plus years of marriage. But any of you guys ever had a conversation with your wife and say, honey, let's go to eat somewheres, right? And you'll offer up a suggestion. And she'll say, well, I don't want to go there. And then she'll respond, well, I don't know. I just know I don't want to go there. So you'll make another suggestion. Well, I don't want to go there either. We just been there the other day. And after a while, you know what I mean? And it's just, however, what knowledge then, if we can't figure them out, what knowledge are we talking about? Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. That's at least a part of it, right? Isn't there biblical knowledge to be learned? Is there not biblical wisdom to be acquired? Is there not a love, an unconditional love that we can apply? And when they don't know what they want, amen, and they can't make a decision, you keep loving them no matter what. You see, well, the reason I mention that is because if there's anything that wants to drive a guy insane, is what do you mean you don't know? And contention sometimes could rise from that. And that's not our place. Amen? You know, the Lord has a way of leading us. He leads us unto all truth. And there's one thing to lead, and it's another thing to be like a slave driver. In my household, and this is always funny, I've shared it before. My dad used to say, well, over here in this household, I'm the chief. And my mom said, we don't have any Indians here. Oh. So anyways, you know, the point got muted as soon as she would say something like that. Now, that was, of course, a disrespectful response. But I understand where it would come from, because a lot of times we think that the responsibility about being the heads of the home, that's not a license to lead tyrannically. Jesus is not a tyrant. Jesus, it's lovely to follow Jesus because he's lovely. And I think that if we could master that role in our lives and seek, that ought to be our number one responsibility. Aren't there a lot of things that we're involved with, folks, on a daily basis? Aren't there a lot of things that call our attention? Aren't there a lot of distractions? And yet, a lot of times, the home is half of what it could be, because the most important responsibility after your relationship to Christ is your relationship to your spouse. Amen? And guys, God calls us to lead with Bible knowledge, with Bible wisdom, and by example. How much like Christ am I? How much benefit am I to my wife's spiritual growth, to her security? It all falls on us. And you know what's neat? Don't you like, I'm looking for a word here, and I gotta be careful. Oh, don't we like a project in life? Right? We like projects. Well, do you take offense, ladies, if I should say that my greatest project to see that my wife grows spiritually in the knowledge of the Lord, not just by teaching verbally, but by teaching by my actions? Should not that be my greatest project in life as a husband and as a man? Certainly, the scripture bears that out. We are the Lord's project as a church. And he will not rest until we are conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. The greatest expectation that I have in my future is that one day when I see Jesus face to face, I'll see him, the Bible says, we'll see him as he is. Every perfection that is still missing will be completely eradicated, and I'll see Jesus exactly as he is. That's his project. And we parallel in these projects, because as the husband, they're supposed to emulate Christ. And as the wives, you emulate the church by being in subjection to your husbands. Isn't that the neatest thing that God could put together as it relates to our relationships at home? It's absolutely glorious.